Well, I trust that that will contribute to your preparing for the season of Advent. And I hope that you've had a good week of preparing for Advent. And if you haven't, then I want to remind you that this is the season of Advent. This is the season for us to wait, to anticipate, to long, but also to be intentional about taking time for Christ to be born anew in us in the weeks ahead. As I was reflecting on Advent this week, a few things came across my world. And one of the recurring themes seemed to be this idea of clearing the way, preparing the way, or clearing the way. Some of you, and I got emails from a few of you, have seen this movement called AdventConspiracy.com, AdventConspiracy.com, a website devoted to four phrases: worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. Worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. AdventConspiracy.com. A ministerial colleague of mine is urging people to KISS this Advent. The K means kibosh. The I means initiate. Do things sooner than later so you don't get so packed up later in Advent. To share, to sit with your family and share in meaningful things or with friends or people that you love. And the final S is scripture. To set aside maybe 1 or 2 minutes in the context of the Bible, in the context of the Christmas story. He says about 7 verses a day would take you through the entire story of the birth of Jesus found in Matthew 1 or Luke 1. Our CBM, we have this connection to CBM through our Step Bolivia program, and CBM is encouraging people to live it out, and they have chosen 3 themes for live it out: live simply, live justly, and to live faithfully. There's a book that's recently come out called Everyday Justice by Julie Clausen. Everyday Justice. And what she's encouraging people to do in this book is to take baby steps towards trying to be a people of justice, a people of mercy, a people of grace. And not trying to take on huge things, but just to take on small things that might even be able to fit into the everyday life of the Christian. A sermon that caught my attention this week was called Uncluttering, simply called Uncluttering, where Reverend Wiley Stevens was challenging people to unclutter their lives this Advent season. He quoted this one quote from about a century ago of a professor of Bible who was at a Wesleyan university who wrote this prayer or this letter. He said, "To the governing general of the universe, dear sir," this is 100 years ago, remember? "Dear sir, I hereby resign my self-appointed position as directing superintendent of my own life and of the world. I cannot level all the mountains of injustice or fill in all the valleys of selfishness. There is too much of it in me. I hereby turn over to you for your disposition and use my life, my money, my time and talents to be at your disposal. Your obedient servant, Rowley Walker." I wonder if you and I can take any of these challenges seriously during the season of Advent. What would we do with all our time if we kibosh things this Advent and made space to live simpler, or to worship more fully, or to, as I'm suggesting this morning, seek the peace? And on Peace Sunday during Advent, I want us to reflect on what it might look for us in 2009 Advent to be these people who seek the peace. For some of you who've been at FBC Edmonton for umpteen years, you might be rolling your eyes and saying, of course, it's on our bulletin, seeking the peace and well-being of the city. But today, let's try to look afresh with eyes that are informed by our text from Zechariah's song in Luke 1. I think there's nothing like a gospel story to get us refocused on a familiar theme. So what are some things we can learn? Some peace lessons that we can learn from Zechariah this morning. I'd like to quickly suggest four peace lessons from Zechariah. The first one is seeking the peace means shut up. A few weeks ago, I preached on Hannah's story and how she endured some lapses in faith from the men in her life. And I named these as OMCs, oblivious man comments. And with the Zechariah story, if you read a little earlier in this gospel text this morning, we read about Zechariah, who's visited by angel Gabriel and is praying and has been praying for a son. That's been part of his prayers. Gabriel shows up, and Zechariah's first response to Zechariah, you will be a father. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bear you a son. His first response is doubt. That's not going to happen, is it? And it's interesting that this time in God's story, that there's a consequence to the doubt and disbelief. A 9-month sentence of silence. Can you imagine what it would be like to be mute for 9 months? Your wife is getting pregnant and growing. The excitement is all around, and you can't say a darn thing. What's the lesson to be learned there? I think Tana was preparing the way for us a bit. When was the last time you and I shut up and listened? Can we listen for even 9 seconds? Like, forget about 9 months. 9 seconds. And I suggested to Tana as we were talking about the story this morning, yeah, if you paused for 9 seconds in an argument, that could really change the direction of an argument. But can we pause for 9 seconds? Can we pause for 9 minutes? Can we take a silent retreat and pause and put ourselves on mute for 9 hours? Seeking the peace means shut up in the nicest Christianly way that I can say it. Secondly, seeking the peace means to speak blessings. After this 9-month muteness that Zechariah experienced, isn't it fascinating to read what Zechariah's first words are after undoing the mute button? We read in verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. And today's text highlights what Zechariah was saying. Zechariah speaks blessings. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. Seeking the peace means to speak blessings. And over the past several weeks, I've encouraged us to be this community of faith that speaks blessings instead of curses. And even at our semi-annual meeting about 10 days ago, we spent some time in our circles of prayer saying, how can we count the hundreds of blessings that are going on in this place in the midst of the 4 or 5 things that we tend to grumble and mumble about? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. A familiar hymn to some of us. Thirdly, seeking the peace means to speak prophetically. So not only does Zechariah speak blessings, but as we read on, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he speaks to his son in a prophetic manner. He says, you will be a prophet of the Most High, and you, my son, will go before the Lord and prepare his ways, that the salvation and forgiveness of sins would be the fruit of your labors. Seeking the peace means speaking prophetically. And if you're wondering how you might speak prophetically this Advent, I'd like to suggest that you connect it to themes of salvation and forgiveness. This is what we do at the Lord's table or the Eucharist. We read in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Seeking the peace means shutting up. Seeking the peace means speaking blessings. Seeking the peace means speaking prophetically. In our final moments, I'd like to suggest that seeking the peace is prequeled by being the peace. Being the peace is the prequel to us seeking the peace. And so in our final moments with the text this morning, I want us to sit with these last two verses of Luke 1. Verse 78 and 79 that gives us a corporate calling as the people of God. "By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." If you're wondering what you'll do as you kibosh your December schedule moving toward December 25th, as you unclutter, as you clear the way, brothers and sisters, here's what we ought to do in the meantime, or in the midst of that. "By the tender mercy of our God, allow the Spirit for dawn to break upon us, that God's light will flood down upon us, not just to make us feel good or be in this enlightened nirvana moment. No, this light will cascade upon us so that we might give light to those who sit in darkness, that we might give light to those who are even in the shadow of death this week." And you don't need to look far this Advent season to find people in the midst of darkness or in the wake of death. Some are right here, sitting beside you in pews this morning. Others are in your schools, your workplaces, your homes. So as we close with a moment of silent prayer and reflection, I'm going to encourage you to frame your time with a couple of questions. What is the unique gift of peace that we might offer in the days and the months and the weeks ahead as this community of faith? What are the unique gifts of peace that we can offer within our four walls and even outside of our four walls? A second way of phrasing it might be this: how will we, or how do we, infuse the places that we live and breathe with the peace of Christ? How do we, or how will we, infuse the places that we live and breathe this week with the peace of Christ? It's Communion Sunday, and that gives us a great place to start so that we might be the peace of Christ and then seek the peace of Christ. And I want to push your Baptist imaginations a bit this morning. And I know not all of us come from a Baptist mindset, but even as we take in the elements, as we ingest the bread and the cup in the name of Christ this morning, I'd like to challenge you to just really embrace that. That when we ingest the bread and the cup, that the molecules of the bread and what's in the cup actually interact with the molecules of who we are. And we receive Christ. So then, as we be the Christ, it's not just me conjuring up this peaceful, easy feeling. It's Christ in us, Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, living out that Christ life, so that we might be the peace and then seek the peace. Let's close in prayer, and I remind you of those questions. What's the unique gift of peace that we might offer this week, individually or corporately? Or how will we, or how do we, infuse the places that we live and breathe in with the peace of Christ? Let's pray together. close today with a prayer borrowed from some friends in the Mennonite community called Transformation. Creator God, you make all things new. Praise and glory to you. Open my heart to receive transformation, to become the person you designed me to be. That as I walk this life with the swirling chaos and hailstorm of pain and loss that accompanies the journey, your craftsmanship will be complete. And I will be as a healing balm to those in pain, a sip of cool water, refreshing and joyful to the thirsty, a wise and stable presence to the lost and forsaken. That the healing and hope, the light and love that is you will flow through me, drawing together all your children. Come, kingdom of God, be done, will of God, here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.